say.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. You are with Blog Talk Radio and the Cosmic Citizen. This is Paula Thompson with my good friend Emilio Coppola. And we are here at Data Connect in Denver, Colorado. Right now, there's a Urantia University board meeting going on. We're hoping to get some of the board members from Urantia University to come over and talk to us. I was planning to play a song for y'all, but my switchboard my switchboard just disappeared. I don't know if Crystalline is on and trying to say hey, but we'll have to wait for a minute and so I can see my switchboard again. It's like it's reloading or something. It was on automatic refresh. Today our guest is Emilio Coppola, and he is from Memronic, New York. He's been reading the Urantia book for 10 years, 15 years. He is involved in an initiative with the for the Urantia Book Fellowship with his compatriots Phil Taylor and Christina Seaborn, and they have done a strategic planning with the leaders of the fellowship and come up with an initiative called Fellowship in the Field, which is actually an initiative to find a great dissemination project. You know, we're all about dissemination. Anybody who reads the Urantia book is all about dissemination. I mean, it changes your life, and because it changes your life, you just want to share it. I often tell people, misery loves company, and that's true, but joy also craves fellowship. And when something makes you so happy, you just naturally want to share it. If you see a great movie or you read a great book or you hear a song that you love, you just want to share it with everybody you know and you turn them on to it. That's what makes videos go viral on the internet. Every good thing happens because built into us is this desire to share good things. And anybody who's ever read the Urantia book has that built in because, boy, it changes your life in every way for the better. It just makes you a better person. So I see we have several callers on the board. I got my switchboard back thanks to my tech, May. She's sitting right here. She's hanging out with us. We're actually in the boardroom. We're on a speakerphone. Amelia, say hey.
Well, hello. Hello, Paula and May and everyone else that's listening in. Thank you for joining us today. And we hope we have a good discussion about some of the projects or ideas that folks are coming up with for our fellowship in the field dissemination idea.
So, Emilio, tell us, what is the basic gist of this? How did it come about? And I know you guys have been in quite a process. It's been like more than a year worth of intense meetings. And
that's right. Yeah, it's been about a year. There are several of us within the fellowship have looked at a strategic visioning for the fellowship moving forward and wanted to poll all of the folks that are in the movement to see what type of project we could come up with. We're trying to move the fellowship into more of a coordinating type of role, coordinating in the sense of providing resources, both financially and skills within the Urantia Book community. And so what we've put together is a broadcast. We want to put the message and the word out there to all Urantia Book readers to share with us their projects, their ideas on how they might share this revelation with the rest of the planet. And that's essentially where we are. And we have a $10,000 award financially to help facilitate that project, the winning project, as well as the resources of the fellowship and all of its committees and volunteers that are out there with various skills to help bring about and to fruition these projects.
So, you know, you're offering, the fellowship is offering a $10,000 grant.
That's right.
For a great idea. And, you know, a lot of your Urantia Book readers, and especially if there's young people out there, we know that, you know, you have those capabilities. You have those abilities to do multimedia presentations, websites, gosh, maybe you're thinking billboards. I don't know. We're
YouTube
open.
Videos.
YouTube videos. A whole introduction with, you know, a slide, you know, and beautiful music, and you know, the sky's the limit. I know $10,000 isn't going to buy a whole lot, but boy, it is a good amount of seed
good
money.
Start. Sure.
And if the idea is good enough, I know the fellowship is really going to get behind it. So that is the whole idea, is to just kind of flush out some ideas from the grassroots and get them percolating. And so we really want to, you know, so tell them a little bit about how they can do that if they want. There's a website.
Sure, yeah, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. We have a new website for this initiative. It's called fellowshipinthefield.com. And if you go there, it'll explain a little bit about the project and how we got there and what we're looking for in terms of criteria that the project should try to fulfill. And it's the form is out there so that folks can submit it. And we want to encourage people to go ahead and brainstorm with this idea and don't feel like you have to have everything fleshed out. That's really what the Strategic Vision Committee is offering, is to be that point of contact to the Urantia Book community and to help facilitate the development of your particular project or idea. So we encourage everyone not to be shy and to freely share their thoughts or ideas as they come about, and we'll help to flesh that out if need be.
So, and I think our good buddy Crystalyn Beek-Larson is on the phone with us. Crystalyn, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. You were a little late getting on this morning.
Oh, we've had a little phone trouble on this end.
Well, it must be in the stars. My daughter and I have a running joke that she told us a couple weeks ago that and the cover of Weekly World News, which of course we all know is a rag, but it's kind of fun to look at the covers sometimes. She said the headline was Chaos Cloud Unleashed. Unleashed from a black hole. So every time something goes wrong now, we have to laugh and say it's the chaos cloud.
The chaos cloud.
Anyway. So, yeah, and you probably thought we'd be able to play a song this morning, but we couldn't because my switchboard went away for a while. So. We have several
callers. I thought
callers
I had a little
waiting.
More time.
Yeah, you probably, I don't blame you. I thought I did too, but I had to swallow my oatmeal and just start talking. Anyway, we have several callers. Emilio has asked several people to call in, and I think probably Christina and Phil, they're the architects also of this wonderful initiative. So I'm just going to take some of these calls, if that's okay with you, Crystalyn, or if you had something to say first, that'd be fine too.
No,
should I go
fine.
Ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay. 907, you're on Blog Talk, the Cosmic Citizen.
907, that would be me. This is Tony Finstead.
That is you.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Good to
Good
hear
morning.
You.
Good morning. Good to
from
hear from
Alaska.
You.
Alaska.
Yeah.
We're going to have a party on the radio.
Yeah, excellent. That sounds good. It's good to hear everybody's voice and be a part of this team. And I think Emilio's done a wonderful job getting the vision out there, articulating the beginnings of our project. And I'm just here to support the project. I'm a part of the Strategic Visioning Committee. And actually, it's coming on 2 years, not to be too much into data, but believe it or not, it'll be 2 years in February. The General Council put this ad hoc committee together, and so we're going to approach 2 years here this February.
Explain what the General Council is for our listeners.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's the governing body of the fellowship. It consists of 36 elected members, and it is the governing body, the General Council. It meets twice a year, and then within the General Council, it elects the Executive Committee, and that's yet another body that has standing committee chairs and the different officers. but we were formed as an adjunct committee. We're not a standing committee, but we've been an adjunct committee for coming up on 2 years, and we've been meeting on a monthly basis, sometimes 2-3 times a month, and it's been an exciting project to see come around. You know, it's and at this phase, as Amelia said, we're just putting it out there to everybody to solicit response from others. We've brainstormed, obviously, and come up with ideas, but at this point, we're looking for input from other readers. And
there is a deadline, right? I mean, the initial deadline is what, December 1st?
Yes, the initial deadline is December 1st. And again, you know, they don't have to have a fully fleshed out idea. They can just, you know, present a very basic framework. The form is extremely easy to fill out. It's, I think, one page.
Oh.
So it's really just asking for some basic questions about your particular project. And as I said earlier, the whole entire strategic visioning committee is here to help support that and be their point of contact and help them flesh out the idea so that it's fully functional and can be submitted for the rest of the General Council to review and decide on the winning project that we're going to support and move forward. But it brings up an interesting point in that, you know, we're probably going to get many very good projects out there. We have a lot of creative individuals in the movement and groups of individuals. So we figure we would like to also promote those top ideas, even though they may not be the winning proposal. We want to continue to encourage and help those folks with their projects as well. So it's not just limited to the one winner or that's selected.
Yeah, the idea is to flesh out as many as we can, really, out of the grassroots, and then we'll have a, you know, it'll be great to just people start thinking, you know, because I think anybody who is an evangelist of the Urantia book, which of course I am, has thought, gosh, if only I had the money. You know,
or the resources, I don't know how to do this or that.
Right. I'd like to try something, and I think it would be really effective. Now, different, you know, outreach projects can vary. I mean, you know, you can go from an ad in a major publication like USA Today, and that's going to cost a lot, you know,
right,
just to run
right.
one ad. But, you know, if we're clever and we get into guerrilla marketing, like you mentioned, YouTube, or you can do a social network site, there's a lot of things you can do for $10,000. Really get them off the ground and get them up and running. And we're committed to this project. So, but Tony, hang in there with us.
Sure.
Because we're going to get your compatriots on the phone here.
Go to Vermont or somewhere.
Okay. 802, is this Vermont?
Yep, this is me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Very good.
Hey, it's
guys?
Phil.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great.
Hi,
thanks.
Phil. Good morning.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon where you are, isn't it?
Yeah. So thanks for plugging us today. I think Tony and Amelia really spoke kind of well of the project and what we're trying to accomplish. I think we're really excited about it, and we're just hoping we can get other people excited about it, because I think there's a lot of great ideas out there, and sometimes the reality is that you can have great ideas, but they don't necessarily get implemented because you know it takes some teamwork and effort, and we're looking to support those great ideas.
Yeah, you're right, Phil. I mean, it does take a lot of teamwork and effort, and it's great to see how the fellowship is growing into this resource coordinating type of role within the Urantia Book community to put together those. Many of us have great talents that we're willing to share but not sure how to apply them or how we can help someone else. Or on the other side, somebody doesn't know where do I go find these people to help me, say, with marketing or help me with a multimedia outreach idea.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you and from my point of view, there may be somebody out there in the grassroots that's, you know, really on fire with an idea.
Right.
And they're isolated, you know, as we know that there are some readers in the, you know, in places where there aren't a lot of other readers around, and so they don't get that that reflection from each other, and they don't get to bounce ideas off each other or collaborate with each other like we do. We're really blessed to be able to do that. So, you know, our hope is that we'll get to some of them to come out of the woodwork and come on board and start working with a group of people that's really dedicated to the same exact purpose, and that is to get the news out there. The Urantia book, it's the good news, you know, and we need to get it out however we can, and we're looking for your help, and we're looking for your ideas. You know, we can't think of all of it, right?
That's right.
So,
yeah, we have so many different unique approaches. I think if you've looked at the history here, there have been a lot of teachers and leaders out there that have gone out and done their passion in spreading this revelation in whatever way and shape and form that they're comfortable and able to do. And what we're really trying to do with this whole initiative is to attract those individuals and give them additional resources to make those dreams and passions come true.
Yeah, we just had a comment on the board about George Lawless, who I knew. George, he was a reader for many years. Lou posted a comment about he had an idea about presenting the Urantia book in a comic book form.
Oh, that's
awesome.
He
was a graphic artist. So, you know, those are the kinds of ideas that we're looking for. And I think while we were doing this strategic vision process, and as a member of the General Council, I went with this through you, with you. you get where I'm going here. I was in on this process, and I got to participate in it, and it was really fun. And just a break from the monotonous business meetings that we often do. And one idea came up. A video game.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Because look at how Farmville is just huge on Facebook.
That's
it's
right.
Just taken off. Everybody's doing Farmville. And so the idea was to
you
do
Urantiaville.
Yeah, the mansion worlds, and you know, you'd progress on through the universes and you'd achieve different things, and sometimes you'd get a pat on the head from a great benevolent cosmic being.
When you fuse.
It was really great, and you could just see how the creativity started to flow around that one idea.
That's right.
And I always think of that one because that one stands out for me as something like, wow, as a creative person, I would love to get involved with that and just,
and what a wonderful way to share the revelation in a fun way, right? All the teachings can be shared in bite-sized pieces, easy for anyone to start out on their journey for truth, beauty, and goodness.
Right, and you know, it's just a tendency to you're able to teach these great truths from the Urantia book in a fun way, and it makes them more sticky. My friend likes to call an idea, if it's a good idea, it's sticky. You know, it sticks with you. So let's take another call, you guys. I think this might be Christina.
Hi, Paula. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Amelia. Hi, Phil.
Hey.
Hello.
And who else is on? Is it Andrea?
Kristen,
no,
and
Andrea,
Paula?
But I...
Tony.
And Paula.
Tony.
Oh, hey,
and
Tony.
Hi, Christina.
Oh, hi, Tony.
Good morning.
We have your whole strategic planning committee on the phone here now. Almost.
Well, we want to be able to answer any questions that people have, and I just got a phone call this morning from Jim Berry from Texas. And he said there's a lot of people that are really interested in this fellowship in the field, and they're really excited about it. So they have a lot of questions they want answered. So I gave him the phone number, so I hope he calls in with the questions. And basically we have a discussion board, and if you go on to Facebook or onto the Fellowship in the Field website, you can go on there to the forum and ask your questions, and anybody can answer those questions, so we're here to help.
Well, we also have the chat room going on right now simultaneously with this broadcast, and so I just invite our guests, if you have any questions, to type them in if you're on the chat board, and we'll try to get them on. We'll try to answer your questions. And also the call-in number is 646-716-8158. If you'd like to talk to one of our esteemed board, we've got Christina Seaborn from St. Cloud, Minnesota, Amelia Coppola from Mamaroneck,
New York,
Phil Taylor from Vermont, and I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Tony Finstad is out of
Alaska.
Alaska.
Arnie Ondis, I think, is out of Florida.
Yeah, Arnie's out of Florida.
And, Larry Geis out of
California. Yeah, this has been the committee that has, I mean, you guys are all over the North America.
Oh, yeah,
it seems like you have
time zones. We're in four different time zones.
It is hard to negotiate times to have our conference call.
Yeah. It usually means Alaska coming home early, like at 4 o'clock to get on the phone.
Yes.
It all works out. We've been a real team when it comes to that, you know, how we've been meeting. And I just want to plug our co-chairs. Our co-chairs are Christina and Phil. Yeah. And I think they've really modeled a great job of working together as two leaders and, of course, male and female energy. And it's been a delight to work under their co-chair leadership.
I'll second that.
Well, maybe Christina or Phil, one of you would like to tell us a bit about the process that we've just been through and how the strategic planning process that you guided us through and how it culminated in this idea.
Well, I can speak to that a little bit, this is Christina. And we had a couple of visioning sessions with 36 general counselors, and we started off with time with God the Father, where the person would talk about why am I here, why am I volunteering, why do I care about the Urantia Revelation and doing work for it, and then answering for yourself these really personal questions. Then we got in small groups of five or six and shared our ideas, and then we shared those group ideas with the larger group, and it's really similar to what Bill and I are doing as co-chairs, where you start with bouncing off ideas off two people, then you go to five or six, then to 12 people, then to 36, and then to the larger community. And by the time we get a message out to our society administration list, it's really had a lot of feedback from a lot of people, and it comes off really strong because it has group wisdom. So that's the idea, is that we are personal beings. We like working with each other closely, but when we want to communicate well, we need to start small and gradually grow bigger, kind of using a concentric model circle that Mo Siegel uses, that when you want to sell tea, you start right where you live. You don't just immediately go to Siberia in Russia, and you work out from where you live in concentric circles and enlarge the group as it makes sense. And Phil, do you want to add other things to what we do?
I think this all started out. I guess I'll give kudos to our former president, Robert Burns, when he really was asking for direction from the general counsel. And I think historically over the years we've realized that, you know, it's sort of tough finding an effective role for the general counsel to act as one body. And so that's what really gave rise to this concept of the visioning committee, and that was to find some way of seeking the will of the general counsel and articulating it in a vision. And that's what we've done. We've developed this strategic vision over the next 10 years, and we focused it on dissemination because that was, from a survey, one of the key areas that had the most interest in. And so we've been using that process. And so to develop this dissemination initiative, we've basically taken all the feedback from that visioning session and incorporated it into the strategic vision. The first part of that vision is to develop a dissemination plan or a dissemination initiative. And the dissemination initiative is actually largely defined by the general counsel. We have these several... I think about eight proposal criteria that we're looking to meet when we vote on the final project that gets approved. And maybe I'll just talk a little bit about that, because that is, that largely does define kind of which projects can be selected. But one of the things we wanted to do was to find a project that can encourage and support individuals in their teaching ministry and dissemination activities, helping them realize their full spiritual potential as living translators of the fifth epical revelation. And so we kind of wanted to see if we could get a project out there that would go beyond the step of introducing people to the Urantia book or placing the book in libraries, all of which are very valuable and need to continue. But we wanted to go that sort of extra mile and make it creative, perhaps in the true sense of the word, in the sense that it's creative and in partnership with God and the Spirit within, and see if we can find a project that really challenges people to become a living expression of the Urantia book. I think Tom Choquette once said that, you know, to some people, you are the only Urantia book to read.
Yeah.
So that's kind of trying to... and then there are a whole bunch of
we're
other...
We're getting a lot of feedback.
Background, yeah.
Background music. I mean, not music, but background chatter. So some of you who aren't talking might want to mute your phone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kristalyn.
Yeah, also, Phil, you said Tom Choquette said something, and I didn't hear exactly what you said. What can you repeat that?
Yeah, Tom Choquette, I think at one time said, you know, to a lot of people, you are the only Urantia book people are ever going to read. And so that's what this dissemination initiative is about, is playing off that opportunity for individuals to become a living expression of truth, beauty, goodness, and love, to be a living example of the Urantia book. And in the same way, and by so doing, by the living by the fruits of the Spirit, you know, teach and uplift people about God, whether it's being telling them flat out about the Urantia book or just imparting some aspect of the teachings and truths about the Urantia book, you know, all in all sort of commensurate with their capacity.
Great. Yeah, I love this project because it's exciting. It's
something we can all sink our teeth in and
get
behind.
It's enlivening. I mean, it really helps. I think of the other day, and Anthony, forgive me, Tony, forgive me, but I couldn't help overhearing May's call with the Yaya Committee and how passionate.
What's Yaya?
Youth and young adults.
Oh, thanks.
Youth and young adults, Yaya. Yeah,
yeah.
Yaya siblinghood. anyway, I heard how passionate Tevo Orjala was about creating a social network site and something really geared toward youth. And he was saying, you know, if I just had the funds, if I just had the resources, I would do this thing. I mean, and he was so passionate about it. He said, I could get young people involved. I know what I'm doing. I have it. It's in me. I can do it. And it just occurred to me today, man, Tevo needs to hear this show. Tevo needs to go and submit that to this very program, because that's the kind of person that we're looking for, the person who has the passion, the idea,
but not all the resources.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great example, Paula. I'd like to just follow up on that. And I did call Tevo back since we did have that meeting and encourage him to submit to this very project.
Okay.
And that's a great example of somebody that has the energy and the vision. And what we're hoping to do is to... especially with the youth and young adults that have such creative energy that we just want to give them the tools and let them run with it. And, again, if it meets some of these criteria, we do have guidelines, and we are going to be responsible with this project and with the funds and steer it and encourage people and help them develop it. We're just not going to just hand them the money and just have them take off. It's all about, again... Go ahead.
It's all about the growth, right? The development of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it continues to be this project, hopefully, and our vision within the Strategic Vision Committee is that it continues to be built up as a team until it includes you know, we've been mentioning the word grassroots, which is where a lot of these great ideas come from, including using Tevo as an example, an individual who's in his 20s that's in San Diego and feels a connection to the larger community but would benefit from feeling a much larger connection. And, that's what this is about, improving our communications. And, that's what Robert Burns, back to what Phil said. I mean, what we need to do, I think, as a community, as leaders on the General Council, is to just try and improve some of these communications and build a team and involve the societies to whatever extent we can and whenever we can. And help bring in the society participation. A lot of times the society, like in Seattle, doesn't know what the society in New York is doing. Just cross-fertilization of creative ideas.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Tony. I would really love to see how, if there are any callers out there that maybe could even share how we would, maybe they don't have an idea right now, but maybe how we could share this initiative. We really want to include everyone and anyone out there that has been touched by this revelation and is so inspired to be moved by it, to do something with it. How could we best get that word out there? We're on Facebook, and we have the website, and we have this Blog Talk Radio, and we're on Truthbook in their discussion forum and so forth, trying to stimulate ideas. But if anyone else out there has anything to share with the group, we'd certainly love to hear how we can spread it. And maybe those that are listening, even if they don't have an idea, perhaps the individuals and groups that they touch, that they could share this website, fellowshipinthefield.com, and see if perhaps they can create a buzz out there, if you will.
Well, we can send out a broadcast on our database, which we're
right on the email database.
We're planning to do that over the next month, and we can sure talk about it on the air. One of the things that Paul and I would probably really like to recommend to many people out there is to get on the airwaves. It's a whole lot easier than you think now.
Something
like this Blog Talk Radio. If Fellowship in the Field wanted to do a program just talking about the kinds of projects people want to do, it could be a weekly. You could be doing your visioning planning on the air.
That's an excellent idea. Sort of a group cooperation through the radio, you're saying?
Right. You can have a study group on the air now through Blog Talk Radio. You can have a discussion group now through Blog Talk Radio. As many of you know, I'm in the process of planning an Angel Appreciation Festival and Convention. That's going to be happening a year from now, in November of 2011. And it's going to be a program available to a much broader
audience
group than just Urantia book readers, because we have people who are very interested in angels and the kinds of activities angels are involved in. And it's going to give Urantia book presenters an opportunity to present ideas from the Urantia book about angels right alongside people who have other ideas about angels. And we found that when we did a program here on the air on angels, we had the largest listenership than we've ever had on any of our programs. And so when you pick a particular topic that you want to discuss in depth, you can find hundreds, if not thousands, of other people online who also want to talk about that same topic.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, that was on the 11/11, and Chris Lynn's event is on 11/11/11, and you know, it's a perfect another perfect idea that someone like you, Chris Lynn, you have this event, and you want to do it, you could go and submit your proposal to the Strategic Planning Committee, so or to the Fellowship.
I will.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah.
One of the things we've gotten really good at over the last 50 years is putting on really great conferences. But most of the time we're marketing those conferences to, you know, our your Rancho Book Reader groups, which sometimes we're marketing an event that could easily host several thousand people, and we're marketing
right.
it to a couple thousand and maybe expect to get a couple hundred people show up. What I'm trying to do is market something to more like 100,000 people and hope that 5,000 show up.
Hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I think we have a lot of world-class presenters. Tony, you know I've talked to you about this. That, you know, I'm really wanting to be able to take some of the most important gospel concepts from the Urantia book, some of the things that people really need to hear, and that would really be life-changing, answering some of those ageless philosophical questions that we know are answered so eloquently in the Urantia book. And, you know, that we want to be able to present some of those ideas to people that are filtered through the presenter, you know, filtered through another human mind, which makes that that information much more accessible to the average person who would probably never read the Urantia book.
Right.
Right, and that's the whole idea. I think that's what, you know, where we're going with
exactly
this.
Exactly right, because not many people are willing to read, let alone read a 2,100-page densely packed book. And not only do you have to read it once, but you'd have to actually study it to really absorb it. I still feel like I'm new to reading it, and it's been almost 14 or 15 years. So, and we forget as we're readers. And are used to these concepts, that what it was like to be new to this stuff, and how do we reach out to those in the rest of the world to share these teachings, these truths, right? We mentioned a term earlier, which was called, you know, living translators. Well, what is probably many of you are thinking? Well, what does that mean? And what we really are trying to get across is this idea that each of us are individuals, and as individuals, we have strengths and weaknesses. And with those, we have a unique way, like Kristen was saying, of presenting ideas and concepts that will appeal to those types of like-minded individuals that are easily assimilated by them and palatable to them. You know, we often sort of talk to each other rather than to the rest of the world, and that's really what we're trying to do with this initiative, is reach out there to the rest of the world and introduce them to some of these higher concepts, some of these higher truths that are in the book. And there are lots of them in there that we can pull upon.
And, you know, friends, and I've got a call. I'm going to take a call here in just a second, but I want to play off of what you said just there. We know, I think each one of us know, that the world right now is hungry for what's in the Urantia book. They may not read that whole book. They don't know what's in it, though.
That's right.
And if they did, they would read it. Believe me, if they knew what was in there, they would read it, because it would answer those questions that seem like they're not answerable. And, you know, the questions that every seeker of truth and beauty and goodness ponders in the darkness of the night while you're laying awake in bed wondering, you know, why am I here? Why does God allow suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, what's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen to humankind? Are we going to survive as a race? You know, all of these questions that come up, the difficulties we're going through right now, and who knows what's ahead for the world, but the Urantia book just gives people hope, and it gives them peace and assurance that the universe, we are actually in a well-ordered and friendly universe, and these guys have our back. They
That's
really
right.
do. And so, you know, you end up feeling like you do have friends in the universe. You do. God is on your side.
You're not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone. God's not going to kick you because you're down. You know, no, quite the opposite. He's going to pick you up and dust you off and say, hey, kid, you can do it. Don't give up. And, you know, the Urantia book just gives us so much. in that vein, that, you know, that's what we're about, because I think we know the world is hungry for it. It may not even know it's hungry for it, but we know it is. So I'm going to take this call.
If you'll just check your mute button, anyone that's not talking right now, if you'll just mute your phone.
Hearing
a little bit of background noise.
Yeah, a little feedback. Area code 403, we finally got you on. Sorry, thanks for waiting.
It's me, it's Andrea.
Hey!
Good
Hello,
morning,
Andrea. How are you
Hi,
guys?
Andrea.
We knew it was you.
I've been listening. You guys all sound great.
Well, good.
So, I don't have much to say. I'm just enjoying listening.
Okay.
Excellent.
Oh, this is... jump in for a minute?
I see.
Yeah.
I just wanted to follow up on sort of a kind of point that you made, and also Crystalline. You know, one of the criteria that we have in the for the proposals is to have the opportunity to identify markets or strategic areas or strategic audiences, perhaps, and then develop a message for it, and to go about, you know, maybe identifying. Oh, okay, if a community or person is kind of wants to know more about this, something that came right out of the visioning sessions where, you know, some folks in the general council really felt that we ought to have a message associated with your Urantia book. And so that's something that we're really looking into, and what I think we're not really sure where it's going to head, but I think there certainly is some... a desire to kind of go about dissemination rather strategically. Now, having said that, one of the things I've always wondered, and it's from reading the parable of the sower that I'm sure you all are familiar with, but one of the interesting things about the sower is that they said that as he went to sow, and his seeds kind of fell by the wayside, some, you know, fell on hard earth, and some fell on fertile ground, and some fell under brush and thickets. The whole interesting part about that, and I'm just throwing this out for discussion, is that the sower never really went out to the field where there were cultivated fields, where if you just planted a whole bunch of seeds, they'd grow up in fertile soil, and every seed would multiply. So I wanted to throw that out and just see what people thought, what their take was on that in terms of dissemination.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I'll chime in here. I think that there are no absolutely fertile fields. You're going to find people that, you know, the seeds are going to fall on rocky places or fertile places, just like people's minds are either receptive or not. Or perhaps there's, you know, not the intellect there. There's, you know, there's all kinds of different factors that go into whether or not that seed's going to sprout.
I think an important point along that line is that, you know, it doesn't mean that next spring it sprouts. It could be 10 springs from now that it sprouts, right? So that seedling can lay dormant for quite a long time.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think... Go ahead, Crystalline.
Oh, there was a point made on the board that we need to be spirit-led, not community-led. But, you know, how else do we have to move forward if not by group wisdom? We assume that a portion of our group wisdom is spirit-led. We know that what our intentions are. We know the sincerity of our groups and our committees. You can tell because people that we know and that we've known for a long time have shown forth fruits of the Spirit in their lives. And I don't think we have to be afraid of, you know, sort of going to the masses when we're not shoving a new religion down their throat, and we're not shoving even the Urantia book down their throat. We're offering large groups of people new information that they haven't had access to before.
Mm-hmm.
obviously we need group wisdom more than ever before, and we need the sincerest form of group wisdom. Where, and I know being on the general council, I know, Emilio, I've seen you many times, you know, almost in tears because you were so moved by the fact that the group went through something thoroughly and then came to a consensus that was just really, you see it emerge, don't
mm-hmm.
you? It's a process that is just the most amazing thing to watch happen when you see it. And I know Christina has said, you know, I came in with a different point of view, but when I left, I had, you know, I had a whole new idea about it. And it's just because of watching group wisdom in process, and it really is the most amazing thing. I mean, I highly recommend it for anybody who's never done it, because that in itself, if you just tackle a problem with a group of like-minded individuals who, you know, they can be diverse, but they all have the same purpose and the same goal in mind to get to the answer.
Right.
It's amazing what will emerge. But I wanted to share that actual parable, Phil, because you brought it up, and I just want to read it. So it's from, obviously, part four, The Life and Teachings of Jesus. It's from paper 151.
And this is a parable also told to us in the Bible, right?
Right, right. The parable of the sower. And here is Jesus'
more
parable.
Detail.
He says, "A sower went forth to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, to be trodden underfoot and devoured by the birds of heaven. Other seed fell upon the rocky places, where there was little earth. And immediately it sprang up, because there was no depth to the soil. But as soon as the sun shone, it withered, because it had no root whereby to secure moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns. And as the thorns grew up, it was choked, so that it yielded no grain. Still other seed fell upon good ground, and growing, yielded some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And when he had finished speaking this parable, he said to the multitude, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's to me, it's one of the great parables, and it's full of metaphors, and it's clearly for those of us who would take it upon ourselves, at least in my, and of course it goes on, the book goes on to explain what the apostles, how they interpreted it. But for me, it is about those of us who would spread the good news, the teachings, of the Urantia book, or the Gospel of Jesus, or, you know, the good news about whatever it is, and to take heart, because we're not always going to meet with absolute success. And some of the seeds we throw out, but we can't be discouraged, and in some respects we can't be too discriminatory. We just have to get the word out there, because he who has an ear will hear.
That's right.
He'll hear. And, you know, I love that parable. I'm so glad you brought it up, Phil. Are you there?
Yep, I'm there. Yeah, I
okay, I'm there. There was some background noise, and we figured out where it was coming from, so we muted that caller, and I hope it's a little better now.
Yeah.
Much better, yeah.
Much better.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I'd just like to add a thought to Phil's question on the sower, and that is, you know, I think what we're getting at, or at least what our committee is envisioning here, is it does take action to go about throwing out seeds. That the whole idea is he went out, and that's what the dissemination plan's all about, and that the seeds weren't just placed nicely and neatly, you know, in a box, not to be spread, and, you know,
right.
excited that he had some wonderful seeds, that there was action involved, and what comes of the action, what comes of this dissemination, you know, it's not necessarily for us to know or just have control over, obviously. It's spirit in action. Yeah,
well, and how can we know? How can we know? When you look at some of the most dedicated students and readers of this book, they may not have been the kind, they might not have been the people you would have expected to take hold of this. And the opposite is also true. You know, sometimes we present this book and these concepts to people we're absolutely sure this is just perfect for them. And they couldn't be less interested. You know, so we just don't have the capacity to always see inside people's souls and see what they're ready for.
That's right.
Well,
you guys ever see?
The person who posted the comment about being spirit led really comes into play, because I think in all that we do in service to God, it's dependent on us being spirit led, and especially in our dissemination efforts. I mean, if you think at how successful Jesus was in his personal ministry, it was because the Father was leading them to the right places. And I think that's a big part of it. But I will also say that, you know, it's when those spirit-led individuals get together in a group, you exponentially increase your power. And I think in the original response to that comment, I think it's a yes and. You're spirit-led as individuals in your ministry, but, you know, you're a lot more powerful as a group or as a community. You know, and to that point, that is why the universe has these patterns of, say, with like the Melchizedek colony or the princess staff. When they bring in outsiders, they bring them in, and they see this community living in the fullness of its spiritual living, and it's impressive. It's an impressive sight.
Infectious. Site,
you know? Yeah. Just to reemphasize, I do think that a key part of dissemination is that being spirit-led.
And action, right? If you remember that parable there, this guy that was spreading the seeds, he spread them out there. He didn't sit there and till the soil and nurture them and make sure that they grew. And he just cast the seeds and let God do the rest of the work, along with all of our unseen friends who are all here collaborating, conspiring, trying to get us to see this greater truth, the light, and feel the joy that our Father is actually bathing each one of us in.
Exactly. We have another caller. I think this is Chris Lapine from Delaware. Hold on. He's been percolating here. Chris, are you with us?
Hi, this is Christina again from St. Cloud.
Oh,
I just got to go to a quieter place.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Yeah,
there was quite a bit of culprit. But I look forward to hearing from.
We didn't throw you under the bus, though.
All right. I look forward to hearing from Chris Lapine. I hear he's doing all kinds of interesting things. What project is he working on, Paula?
Well, he is working on an initiative also with study groups. I just got a private message from him. He said he's in flight, so he's trying to land so he can join us on the call. That would be great. He's working on a study group initiative. And as well, you know, there's a lot right now, there's a lot of buzz about study groups and how we can revivify them. And you know, I mean, I face this issue a lot with because since they are our main they're the grassroots social mechanism for the Urantia movement. It's where readers meet each other. It's where they get to know each other. They sit and they study the book together. And I've done it since 77. I'm a fan of study groups, but trying to match people up with study groups is not always easy. And Chris Lapine and I were talking about this in earnest one day, and he's just such a great soul and so devoted to doing the Father's work. I mean, he and I have collaborated so many times and just shared stories of ministry and desire to serve and get the message out to people. He, of course, is he holds up the love of God and the fatherhood of God always, and really, he has a site. Gosh, Chris, I'm sorry, I can't remember. I think it's called the Fatherhood of God site. But beautiful website that he's created, and he's created some beautiful presentations, flash presentations with words and truths from the Urantia book. So he's definitely an evangelist and an outreacher, just like the rest of us. He wants to get the word out. So he really is on this study group project to help study groups grow and to be relevant, and so that we have plenty of study groups. You know, I was explaining to him that I had this experience
30-something reader in Atlanta who is new to the book. He's been reading it for about 3 years, and like me, it took him about 3 years to really want to go out and meet somebody. He's been talking to me on the phone for quite a while, but he decided he wanted to go out and meet some people. Well, the only group in a 100-mile radius of him was a group that was mostly elderly, people in their 70s and 80s. And, you know, you can imagine how a 30-something would feel going into a group like that, and him being a newcomer, and they're all old guard, you know, from Chicago and various places like that. And, you know, he decided to try anyway, and, of course, he ended up being disappointed. Not that they aren't great people, they're wonderful folks. He just felt like he didn't have anything in common with them. I mean, in terms of socially, it just wasn't working. So those are the kinds of things that we want to work on, bringing people together and groups that are some younger groups, you know, where you could send somebody like him that he
and
might have a meaningful interaction.
There are also a lot of younger people. I find there are a lot of...
We lost you, Crystalline.
Crystalline, are you there?
Well, maybe she'll join us back and recall in.
I see. Chris is asking me. He's in the air, as I said, and he's asking me if he can make a comment as a virtual caller. So I'm going to tell him yes, and then if he does, I'll tell you guys what he said.
Wow.
So yeah, hey, we're high tech. Not so you could notice though. So anyway, you know, that's another, this study group initiative that Chris Lapine is working on is another great project, obviously. And there's just so many. And that's the whole point, I think, of the fellowship in the field is to flesh these out and flesh them out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Christina. I'd like to talk about our very first application that we received is from the Chilean mission to feed your ranch books in the national libraries in Chile. And
right.
There are just so many creative and amazing people all around the world coming up with your ranch projects, and they have been for years. And I'm so excited that we have that model that Phil was talking about, where we're going to be the supporting organization for all these ideas. And the real challenge for us is to come up with the one project that we're going to sponsor for this year. But as a committee, we're going to do what we can to support the other projects that submit. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And it's really the first time we're doing something like this, so we're going to evaluate how it goes after the first years and tweak it.
Christina, I think you brought up a really good point, too, and that is that this is ongoing. We all
That's
hope
right.
that this is ongoing. This is just the first project that...
To get some momentum and
right,
traction.
And this is going to be something that we want to support going forward. These initiatives, these grassroots initiatives to get the word out about the Urantia book. So I think that's a really important thing to remember. If you submit your project this year and it doesn't get chosen, don't be disappointed, because submit it again, you know.
Absolutely. And as Christina said, we're going to do our very best to try to support as many projects as we can. Obviously, we have limited funds and resources, but to the extent that we're able to help, that's what we're here for as an organization, is to help bring about these ways to disseminate the teachings of the Urantia book.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and to that end, you know, I know that sometimes we have a tendency to award things as being the winning project, but we've talked in our committee about, you know, even trying to stay away from that term. We're gonna select a project and move forward, but it's not like the others that weren't selected are losers by any means. These are all winning ideas. We're just gonna move forward with one that is selected, and the other ideas are gonna continue to. Obviously, they're gonna have some spiritual fruit and value to them, and we're gonna continue to. to grow them as much as we can and communicate with all the submissions. So there's not a losing. This isn't a contest with losers. We're all moving forward here as a community.
Well, this is
That's
Christina
great.
Again. I'd like to talk about kind of paralleling that with a fiddle contest. And what I notice is there's a first place, a second place, and a third place winner in the fiddle contest. But I think of every fiddle player as having value in their community and that they contribute however, you know, they perform in public in their community in their unique way. And it's the same way that I look at God the Supreme, that each one of us is a shining gem that exemplifies a certain aspect of God that is like no other in the universe, and that is the goal for each one of us, is to shine and be exactly who we are in our, you know, divine partnership with God. And so I don't think of it as winners and losers, as Tony said. I think of each one of us as being extremely valuable in our community and being very important. So I would rather look at a fiddle contest as a celebration of the music and of the fiddle player. And so that's how I'd rather look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and all of those ideas are going to be reviewed. They're going to be seen by a whole group of
that's
people.
Right.
Those ideas, whether they're picked for sponsorship with this particular grant this time or not, will probably be developed. I think I have to believe that. And
sure,
you know, if they have merit, they will be developed. And you know, because that's we realize through this process, the strategic vision process, that what it makes us all passionate is this idea of dissemination and this idea of getting these truths out into the world. So. And if you'll allow me, I'll read Chris Lapine's comments, our virtual caller. he's in the air. I don't know how he can do this, but he is definitely a high-tech guy.
And he's definitely violating FCC.
Yeah. Well, we think. We don't. He says, I came to the conclusion with Phil's help that study groups are the foundation of all we do. They are critical to hold all our efforts worldwide together and draw strength from each other. Ultimately, we need face-to-face contact. I think we need the high touch because we have so much high tech. Very well said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chris is a great writer. He says that Christina makes a great point as well. I believe strongly in high tech. It will accelerate our success. In fact, I am coming back from a conference on e-learning and social media.
Awesome.
So, thanks, Chris. That was wonderful. Thanks for that comment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, I mean, to that spirit, too, I mean, the strategic planning is not anything new to this revelation. For those of us that have been around the organization for some time, we're not creating anything new per se by saying, hey, we got a committee called. Originally, we were the Strategic Planning and Visioning Committee. That's what we started almost 2 years ago as being. And a lot of people, I think, on the General Council, I wasn't on at that time, thought, okay, well, we've been down this road before. And we had, as an organization. It goes all the way back to the Brotherhood. There was a lot of energy put into strategic planning. But I think what's different about this committee and what we're doing now is we brought it into the new century. And, of course, now we've changed our name to the Strategic Vision Committee, SVC. And that we're bringing that high-tech and hopefully, like Chris said, high-touch connection in ways that the technology is affording us to do. And isolated readers and even isolated study groups that can feel isolated and disconnected, that the whole idea behind this, you know, and as Phil brought up, the sower, that's was our inspiration, I think Phil's inspiration, actually, to the fellowship in the field, that whole idea about going out into the field and connecting and seeing to what extent that we can creatively disseminate and get behind one in particular. If we can get behind one in particular and do it well, I think the spirit of this also is to connect those of us that are on the General Council together in ways that we found aren't connected to the fullness that I think we're capable of working together. Meaning that there are standing committees out there that are doing wonderful work and doing valuable service, but they're not necessarily communicating with each other. And if we can have a project, this initial dissemination project, help us function across committee, you know, it's going to really help generate the enthusiasm of the fellowship as a whole. And the thinking is we meaning the General Council as leaders of the fellowship, we always got to keep our eye on who we represent and who we serve and why we come together, and that is for the grassroots, that is for the study group, that is for the societies, is for the members at large. That's who we're here to serve. And in serving them, what we want to do is obviously serve our brothers and sisters who have not been exposed to this great revelation, that are true seekers and ready for, you know, a greater proclamation of the fifth epical revelation to the planet.
Brother Dave on the board just made a comment about this idea of why haven't I heard this before? And I don't know if you guys have ever heard that. I sure have heard it.
Oh, yes.
Chris,
you mean sharing the revelation with others.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I've had people, I had one fellow call me just sobbing, you know, because he had found this book and it was absolutely changing his life and it was answering the questions and he had suffered so much.
Uh-huh.
And he just sobbed and said, why haven't I found this before? Why has it taken me so long? Why do you guys not talk about this? Why isn't it out there? You know, and he was kind of reading me the Riot Act. And I told him, look, I'm just glad you did find it.
Yeah.
And thank God you did find it. And we're trying, you know, we're getting better at this. It didn't come with a manual on how to disseminate an epical revelation. It just, you know, it's all in the teachings. And I think what we've all experienced is this, you know, you give your best, most eloquent introduction to somebody and they're so nonplussed. They just, you know, don't believe it or they don't want to hear it. And having read this for 36 years, you know, as a 20-year-old, I was on fire with this book. I mean, I wanted to do radio back then. So, folks, this radio show is the culmination of a dream for me. I actually wrote Urantia Foundation as a 21, 22-year-old and said, you know, why isn't this thing on the radio? These words of truth are so eloquent. They're so beautiful. I've never heard more beautiful words than this. And I got back the form letter about quiet one-on-one dissemination. And we, you know, I felt like a real heel for even having asked. But I know now that, you know, we just need to find our courage. And that's what it's about in our stamina, on our stalwart determination to just keep talking about this. And like my dear friend Mo Seal always says, you know, the more we talk about it, we make it relevant. We show how relevant it is. It's already very relevant, but if we keep talking about it and like his great effort, and he and I worked together on the quote of the day, and we worked very, very hard on that. I mean, we spent a lot of hours, many, many hours, calling through pictures and quotes to get those that were just so relevant that anybody could understand what it was about. And our whole point was, let's make this relevant. Let's show how relevant it is so that people can see that it's not so strange. It's not so fringe. And, you know, so the task is daunting. I guess that's my point. And we shouldn't get discouraged. We should just keep trying more and different techniques. And
freely spreading it.
Yeah. And the Internet, of course, has opened up a whole new vista to all of us.
Sure.
Opportunities that we never dreamed we had. I mean, this Blog Talk Radio is a perfect example of the opportunities that are existent to us now that weren't even 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, well, the quote of the day is... Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to... or was that Crystalin? Yeah. I just wanted to follow up real quick on what you said there, Paula, with... the quote of the day is such a beautiful example of creative dissemination. I mean, that's...
Right.
And what a gem. That's
well, and it doesn't just go out to those who have subscribed. I mean, it does, but, for example, I take it quite often and post it to my Facebook wall, and I know that goes out to a lot of other people that aren't Urantia book readers. And, if we all just do little things like that, it's just more casting of seeds.
That's right. And, this is Emilio. Leveraging a little bit off of what Paula was saying, one of my pet peeves has always been is that when I found the book almost 15 years ago, I said to myself, well, why is it so hard to find this? Why hasn't everyone at least know that this revelation exists? It's not that they have to believe it. It's not that they have to read it. But they at least deserve the right to know that this revelation, that God has spoken to mankind yet once again after Jesus, to share with us these higher truths, to let them and the spirit that's inside them guide them and take them on their own personal journey. Why is it okay that everybody knows Harry Potter, but they don't know Urantia book? Right? That's not right. Why is it, that we can turn on the news and hear any amount of garbage and junk pour into our minds, and yet we are so hesitant to share with somebody, even in our daily interaction, what truth we can share,
Our virtual caller, Chris, he has a comment too. Chris says, I firmly believe that organization and coordination is the key, especially in the use of social media tools. The conference taught me that things will die in the vine without leaders of these efforts. He points out that this show shows that leadership. So, yeah, somebody has to, really take responsibility for something. And Crystalline and I know this radio show takes a lot of effort, but it's no more than opening the door every week for study group takes,
Right.
But that's a commitment. And if we're going to take this thing to the next level and make it available to people, we really have to be willing to make that commitment, no matter what.
There are people who really appreciate what we do here, and people who we talk to on a weekly basis who would have never found out about this if it hadn't been for the fact that somebody is posting to a number of Facebook sites or Twitter sites or threads of conversation, the topic that we're going to have on this week. And that's one thing people don't really understand, the incredible power we have right now that never existed before. I think when it comes to papers 195 and 196 about the future, I think we're there. I think we're there because I hear people on an hourly, if not a daily basis, who are saying, wow, this is just what I've been looking for. And they're not all necessarily people who are going to pick up the book and make a lifelong study of it. We know that approach to the revelation is really designed for the leaders and teachers for the future age. But as far as the gospel that the Urantia book has available, people get that from study groups. People get that from on-air study groups like this one, places where this show is an interactive event. It's not a static, just Paula and myself on every week just interviewing a guest. We have a live chat room happening at the same time. We have open lines for people to call in and talk and ask questions. And we also have feedback that we can get from people who download the show later on and listen to it at their convenience. One of the other really fabulous aspects of this particular media is that we have the capacity to interview someone at any other time during the week and then rebroadcast that interview during the show programming. So we can be talking to somebody in India or in Australia or on the other side of the world who can't make our, noon Eastern time phone conversation every week. It's amazing what we can do now.
Hmm.
We've never had this opportunity in any other time in history.
Social media, I think that's what Chris Lapine is talking about, the possibilities of social media are just exponential right now. And
they don't cost us anything, really, right?
And I would like to put it out there to all of you. You know, if you know a guest you'd like to interview, hey, Crislin and I will work the switchboard and the chat board for you. If you want to come on and do an interview and you have a guest you'd like to interview, I open it up to any of you that are listening or any of you that are there. We've got this thing down now. I mean, besides some of the obvious technical glitches, that there's nothing you can do about that. But we'd be happy to offer this service to you. If you have a guest you'd like to interview on the Cosmic Citizen, let me know, and we'll set it up, and you can do the interview, and we'll just do the work behind the scenes or the switchboard or whatever, be a supporting cast. So it's not about us. You know, we want to get the word out. Again, it's about dissemination.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Tony.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I probably have a second delay here coming from Alaska. I bounce off the satellites a little slower, but
you sound good,
yeah.
Though.
Oh, good, good. That's important. But yeah, the one point that I just wanted to pull up on that, Paula, is it's a great segue to what we're doing. The very thing. And first of all, I applaud your efforts, Crystalline and Paula, with this Cosmic Citizen show. It's wonderful. And but what you just said there is that you're willing to put it out there to as many people as you can to get involved. That's where we're at. That's a good segue to it, to address where the Strategic Vision Committee is at. I mean, we've been building up to this, announcing what we're about for some time. Now now what we're doing is putting it out to the larger community the best we can through all these, you know, social networking technology ways that we can communicate it, and then, you know, listen for feedback. We have ideas of what we could do, and we brainstorm. It's not like we're looking for the first idea. We just want to get as many other readers involved as possible.
Yeah, because with that, right? With that, we get group wisdom, right?
Yeah.
And we include a larger group of individuals. We see many different ways that we can share this truth or the revelation to others.
Well, and we love having very dynamic projects like this to talk about on the air. It's very exciting what you guys are doing, and we're really happy that you could be with us today to talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Emilio approached me, and Emilio, I'm so glad you did, because it didn't occur to me, and, you know, it was just wonderful. It's like, yes, of course, absolutely. So that's another thing to keep in mind. You have a project you want to talk about, and when you do find a project for fellowship in the field, let's get them on, and we'll talk about the project that's picked and next steps and how cool it's going to be.
Yeah, I was kind of really hoping that today's conversation would prompt the caller that had an aha moment, and even on the spur, give us their idea, their thought of a project or something that... I know all of us have these ideas brewing in the background, because as we are so influenced by this revelation, we're really compelled to act, to serve, to do something other than just read or study it or talk to other Urantium book readers. It's really more than that. It's about sharing this joy with others. There are so many of our brothers and sisters out there that are so thirsty and so hungry and have nothing to eat spiritually, and we can give them this bread and this water of life.
Well, I had a wonderful conversation earlier this week at study group, on the Tuesday night study group, where there's been a LDS member and her husband who have been joining the group, and she is just lit, absolutely lit, by the story in the Urantia book about the life and teachings of Jesus. And I know that there are other Urantia book readers who've joined the LDS church. And are, you know, waiting for and looking for the opportunities to share this revelation with others of their compatriots. And she was just saying she couldn't believe that we were having our next conference, our next international conference in Salt Lake City. She got so jazzed. She got so jazzed about that. And so, you know, that's another thing I'd like to put out there. I would really like to let any of our listeners know that if you're Mormon, if you're a member of the LDS community, please let us know who you are. Contact myself or Paula or any of the people from this strategic planning or visioning committee and let them know, because we are trying to put a panel together for that conference. We would love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear about the ways in which you believe that this revelation in some way ties in with what your experience has been with the Church of Latter-day Saints. So let us know.
You know, and Emilio is the program chair.
That's right.
We have the program chair right here with us today. He's the program chair of the IC-11. So it's pay dirt, folks. If you have a great idea for and want to be on the panel, we would really like to do something to reach out to the Mormon community.
Absolutely.
In Salt Lake City.
And even all new readers or introductory type of thing. One of the IC-11 stands for International Conference 2011, and as Crystalline and Paula have said, it's in Salt Lake City next year in July, towards the end of July, 26th, I think, or so. And the theme of this conference is the revelation in action, and act globally and grow cosmically. So the purpose is to try to bring together those in the Urantia movement that have acted on this revelation and have done something with it other than just reading it and staying at home with it, but have gone out and either lived it in some fashion or form. And so one of the things that we're going to do is to try to include the community, as well as perhaps showcase the selected project from this Fellowship in the Field Dissemination Initiative to present at the conference as well. Again, we're trying to share with others. All too often, I think we've been rather closed-mouthed about sharing what each other is doing for fear that we might be interpreted as tooting our horn. But I think we need to change that mindset a little bit. And it's so important for us to hear these ideas, because it not only spurs thoughts in the other person's mind, but it also helps to reinforce action as opposed to non-action. And we know that we have to act in this universe in order for things to happen. Mm. We cannot just sit there. The angels cannot do anything until we act. They take our actions and work with what actions we do.
That is actually the consecration of our will.
That's right.
Our actions are the consecration of our will, and it shows, you know, I like to say that, you know, your arms extend from your heart, you know, and your hands, they're like
the
conjoined actors, you know. It's what you do with your hands. It's what you get out there in the world and do with your hands that's the spirit in action. And also, do you mind if I send that out?
No, by all means.
I'm sending out Emilio's...
Well, actually, send it to IC. If anybody wants to submit an application for the 2011 International Conference, there's a website called ic11.org, and you can also send an email to chair@ic11.org with your proposal to do a presentation or a workshop. So we're actively soliciting Urantia Book readers, both new and old, and from all aspects of this revelation to come and share with the greater community.
And we have another caller, and Chris Lapine, our virtual caller in the air, has been percolating for some time here, but let me take this caller. Area code, whoops, it's not taking, oh, there we go, area code 714, you're on Blog Talk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Mark Erickson. How's everybody?
Hey,
good.
Mark.
Mark, how are you?
So good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Love you too, man. Did you have something you wanted to contribute? I noticed that you were saying quite a bit on the board there a bit ago.
Yeah, I do. But first of all,
okay.
I wanted to make a comment about Salt Lake City and being jazzed about our meeting.
Yes.
I think if there's any place that's ready to be jazzed, it's Utah. It's a basketball
team.
Yes. Utah Jazz.
Anyway, and about the thoughts for the day, I can't tell you how sometimes they are so relevant, Paula, that it's almost scary. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
We hear that a lot, you know.
And for those that are not sure what we're talking about, if you go to truthbook.com, you can easily sign yourself up as well as a friend or anyone else, and I've done this myself without telling people. I send them an email and I say, I've signed you up for this thought of the day. I thought you might find it of interest. If you don't, it's very easy to unsubscribe. And to the best of my knowledge, they haven't unsubscribed, and they enjoy these quotes that come from the Urantia book that are not utilizing terminology or ideas that would be foreign or would require you to read or know the Urantia book. Essentially, anybody that believes in God can get something from these tidbits.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hello?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I put this on Sakamin yesterday, so some of you may have read it, but I'm really,
right.
I really need a presentation, folks. I'm involved with several groups here in Anaheim that are dying to hear about the Urantia book, and I'm more than eager to give them a presentation. But the missing link for me is like a 10 or 15 minute PowerPoint or DVD presentation that's just a generic introduction to this book that would like open up a discussion that just about any of us could use, that's enough of an introduction to the book so at that point, at the end of the presentation, it just becomes like a kind of a personal the discussion at that point is just my own personal relationship with the book, how I found it, how I live it, how I study it, and that sort of thing, so that I don't really have to become a scholar or represent anything about the book other than my own relationship to the book. And that presentation would probably open up a lot of doors for me personally here.
Well, I'll
Mark,
tell you, the organizations are available.
Really, excuse me, I just wanted to say that was really the whole intention behind the International Urantia Media Arts Competition. We were putting it out there and hoping for that. We were asking specifically for that. We were hoping that people would send us,
yep.
You know.
But Crystalline, if I may, okay?
Sure.
I'm talking about a really top-notch, first-class production with volcanoes erupting and continents shifting and Adam and Eve and Morantian appearances of Jesus. I mean, the whole thing with quotes. I'm talking about a real slick Hollywood production.
I think that's
that
a great idea.
You know,
you know, Mark, the Mormons, when they
Mark,
go out and talk to people, they've got an awesome, you know, I don't know whether it's PowerPoint or a movie, but when those missionaries go into a home, they're completely prepared to dazzle people with the information that they've got. And I think that, you know, why couldn't we do something very similar? I know that I was asked by my minister several months ago to speak to the church about the Urantia book. He said there was a couple of people in the congregation that were interested in hearing about it, and I was very surprised. But out of 22 people that came to the service that day, 8 people wanted to start attending a study group after I was done telling them a little bit about the book. And I didn't go into a lot of detail. I basically just told people, the questions that the book answers, like, you know, what happens when you die? How did the different races of color come to be? You know, why does God allow suffering? And when you pose those questions to people and you say, here's a book that answers all those questions, a lot of people are going to be interested.
Yeah, sometimes I think we think that we need more of a big production than we really do need. But, Mark, I want to tell you, for the Parliament of the World's Religions, Garth Jameson hired Eric Kosh to come to my home and tape an introduction to the Urantia book. And then we added on some of those wonderful clips from the videos from ICO8 that people did out there in the garden by the bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yep. I think it's, you know, fairly effective. It's not real slick, I wouldn't say, but it's professional and it's effective. And so I'm going to send you a copy of that. Yeah, you can use that if you want.
Wonderful stuff, but
it's
not what I'm thinking about. But you're right. It's wonderful stuff, and it's very well done, and I love to watch it myself. But it's,
you know, I think
why don't we get together a team then, Mark? Why don't we put together a team that will work on that project? Because I think the time is ripe. And I know from my experience working with Tevo and some of the other young people on the media arts committee that we're really, really ready to do this. And I certainly would support putting that on the list as a project to do, because I'm doing a monthly introduction to the Urantia book as soon as I get back to Wisconsin. I've only done one so far because then I hit the road and went to California. But when I get back, I've committed to that region that we're going to have a monthly introduction to the Urantia book for 6 months in a row, trying to generate some activity there, some study book study group initiative activity there. Because we found out that in that area, the Urantia book has been checked out of the local library system in the Madison area, where we've only had one study group going on, as far as we know, for about the last 25 years. And almost everybody involved in that study group is over 60. And anyway, we found out the Urantia book has been checked out of the library system there 185 times in the last calendar year. 185 times. Now, that seems to me to be a place where, you know, making some public knowledge, getting the word out that we're going to be doing an introduction and that we're starting study groups in the region, should get some kind of response. I mean, the librarian was shocked.
There's one other point that I'd like to make, and then I'll give this all back to you. But you know, the Urantia book in our community, I mean, this presentation could also really avail itself of, you know, that we have kind of an interesting origin. This book came to us in a kind of a mysterious sort of, quote, paranormal sort of way. There's no reason in the world why this presentation that I'm talking about couldn't, like, you know, like, suggest a little bit of the mystery of how this all came about also, and pique a lot of real general interest that way.
Hmm.
You're speaking to my heart. Yeah, me too, Tony. I like the vision too, and it's something that I've hoped for a long, long time. Not just a talking head, but a really nice, beautiful multimedia scripted. You know, do a storyboard, get the quotes, the images, the music. That's going to do just a really blow them away kind of presentation that by the time they're done seeing it, they're going to say, wow, I really need to read this book. And
yeah, or at least find out more.
I'm so with you on that, buddy.
Hey, Mark,
but
I would encourage
also,
you.
Also something that you're not, that, you know, that first of all could be rubber stamped by both organizations,
mm-hmm.
number one. And number two, that you could send out to just about any one of us at any level, you know, of
right.
– and we feel comfortable that no matter where it's presented, it's putting our best foot forward. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we have the talent to do it. You just need to do it. We have the talent. Boy, it would be a dream come true for me if we could get it done. Because my idea, my hope is that somebody could have a group, put it on, watch it, and then answer questions. You know, they don't have to try to do an introduction to this this tome, this comprehensive, amazing book, and try to, in 45 minutes, to tell people what it's about. You know, a picture really is worth a thousand words, and a good presentation could just accomplish so much. And you could put it on to the group and then say, okay, we're here to answer your questions.
All we really want to do is pique interest.
That's right.
Right.
Well, Mark, I would highly encourage you to do two things. One would be if you go out to urantiauniversity.org, they're working on an introductory-type course. You might be able to get some material from that. And secondly, go ahead and submit an application to
Fellowship in the Field.
Exactly.
There's an excellent opportunity to get funding and the support, and we'll have a database of volunteers and resources within the entire Urantia Book community that could potentially, you know, help you with the pieces that you're not able to put together.
Well, I'm not going to put it together. I'm not a producer.
Okay.
No.
We've got other people. We've got other people who are producers, and you can still put your idea on there as a project you'd like to see done. And trust me when I tell you, the project managers will come out of the woodwork to help with this.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. They need something to sink their teeth into.
Yeah, do it, Mark.
Please do.
Please.
I will. Okay, I love you all. I'm going to get off now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in and
sharing that, Mark. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Very, very helpful.
Yeah, and also what Mark said in his post on the SOC admin is that after showing whatever length of time this production would be, that, you know, he's more than willing then to stand up with that having been shown and represent the revelation on a personal, experiential, sharing way. It's not in lieu of hiding from personal testimony and sharing. It's an introduction to just that. So the combination of the two mediums of the production that Mark's speaking to in combination and balance with then standing up there as an individual or a couple readers and sharing what the book has done for them. It's a great, I think, balanced approach to introducing.
I agree, and those you know, those testimonies that Mo and Jennifer did at ICO8 and Eric Kosh recorded are really quite powerful. I mean, you can see them at truthbook.com,
mm-hmm.
and if you haven't seen them, I highly recommend them. I mean, they're just so sincere and spontaneous. They're not scripted. They're right from people's hearts,
mm-hmm.
and it's really beautiful and powerful.
And if you don't want to send somebody necessarily there to share it with, I think they're also on YouTube, right?
Yeah, they're on YouTube as well.
So
yeah.
If you just do Urantia on YouTube, and I think they're also on GodTube.
Are they? And they're also on our site at UrantiaMediaArts.com.
Oh, right, right.
Excellent.
So we have some comments.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is Christina. I just wanted to talk about patience and whenever you're following through on a project and you're helping people and coordinating things and how with our strategic vision committee, this is the culmination of about 1.5 to 2 years of work. So as far as the world is concerned, it's like we've just started. You know, it's our first presentation. And I like the analogy of the way that a tree grows roots first, and there's this huge infrastructure underground that nobody sees that has to be built in order so that the tree can grow and be strong so that when the first wind comes, it doesn't topple over. And so that whatever project that somebody has, just to be really patient with the process of building a strong infrastructure so that it survives the test of time. And I've been helping with lots of different projects like the Chilean mission, and we have international outreach in Latin America, and I've helped with building websites there and coordinating conferences. And then Norman Ingram, who just won a service award for, he Rancho Nations Outreach, where he's gone to Asia, Africa, Latin America, and he's seeded Urantia books. Norman actually has a certain level of impatience with me because he won this service award, so he thought that meant all of a sudden everyone would just be helping him, and it turns out he still has to ask for help. And so that whoever has a project that they really love, that you have to have tenacity, keep working, keep asking, and that the watchword of the universe is actually teamwork and progress. And so we just have to constantly be learning about teamwork, communication, and progress. And I just like to recommend patience to anybody who has a project, and just to keep diligently being persistent about it and asking for the help.
Yeah.
So our virtual caller has some comments too, and he, like I said, he's been perking for quite a while. Let me tell you what he says here. He says, I think we have to reframe our ministry approach. Often we think that we just have to get them into the book. My understanding of the master's approach is to give the truth that is appropriate for a brother or sister. Get them in the temple first is the idea. And then he says, so we throw our seeds out and then respond appropriately, spreading the truth of the UB or giving them the UB or even seeding the UB. I am proud and humbled to know that those who serve, such as those on this new fellowship project, you are the soldiers of the circle. So there's a good benediction from our brother Chris Lapine,
yeah,
a fellow outreacher. Yeah.
Are there any callers out there that have any ideas they want to throw out in front of us, or maybe even email if they're not so they're a little shy about sharing it?
As Mark did.
Yes.
And that, let me give you the call-in number. That call-in number is 646-716-8158.
And again, the website for fellowshipinthefield.com, fellowshipinthefield.com, and you'll find all the information about how to make the application and where we're coming from, what the criteria is that we'll be using to evaluate them and make our selection. And again, I really want to encourage anyone or any that is out there that is reading this book, whether they're involved in any organization or any study group or just reading it alone on their own, to submit their idea of passion and spreading this revelation to our brothers and sisters.
Now,
exactly.
We're down to our last 15 minutes of the show, and we did say on our show blurb this week that we were going to be interviewing some of the people from the Urantia University. I just wanted to double check and find out whether or not we have any of them waiting in the line.
Well,
to talk
they're
today.
In a board meeting, but Haley is going to go see if Tim or somebody can come and say a few words for the exciting things that are going on. Tim or
anyone,
Robert, Robert's conducting the meeting, but. Yeah, we're at Data Connect, which is Tim Hobbs' company, and man, is it high tech around here. Emilio
yes.
and I are talking into this really great speakerphone, which is it's wonderful to have this high tech.
Well, that
stuff.
Is a really great speakerphone because you do not sound like you're talking on the speakerphone at all.
No.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's a conference phone.
And you know, to have a business owner, a successful business owner, open up his business to the concepts and truths of the Urantia book and see it actually living in his company is quite astounding and impressive, really, to see that you can combine business and ethics and these higher teachings about God and our relationship with them.
It's impressive.
And any of you that may be interested in the Urantia University is a new initiative. It is a separate group, independent, that is trying to put together coursework and a community where they can go ahead and share the teachings in a education type environment, either virtually initially, and then hopefully in the future we'll have an actual campus and so forth. We just had three of the board members join us. We have Robert Burns and Tim Hobbs and
Andre Redatus.
Andre Redatus, thank you.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
Welcome.
We threw the net out there and we caught some stars, some starfish.
All right.
Yeehaw.
We have about 15 minutes left.
Hello.
Hi.
So, first of all, let me thank everybody from Fellowship in the Field, Christina, Phil, Chris Lapine, Tony, you guys are awesome. Love you so much. And
thank you
so much for this
and Andrea, your tireless thanks service. Thanks for joining us 2 weeks
Andrea,
in a row.
Absolutely.
We appreciate
you.
You having us on. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
God
Good
bless.
Job.
Good job. So
Indeed.
Here's the...
These guys have been in the middle of a board meeting and for Urantia University and talk about the Fellowship in the Field and some wonderful, exciting initiatives that are going on in the Urantia movement. We are coming out guns a-blazing. And it's just a new vitality that seems to be in existence. And so, you know, Robert, come on and tell us. Robert's the are you the president of
No,
Urantia?
I'm the chairman.
You're the chairman
the
of the board.
The president is standing right behind you, Tim.
And the president is Tim Hawk.
Right. We're having a 2-day board meeting to go over our plans to bring the Urantia University to its next step. And it's pretty exciting, talking about a physical location in Colorado where we have a brick-and-mortar, expanding how we're going to teach on the Internet and in a virtual so people anywhere in the world can participate in the different courses and classes. So, yeah, a lot is getting done. But for vision and for the more exciting stuff, I'm going to turn this over to Tim.
Oh.
Take her
all
away.
All right. So... this is a big deal for us. For those of you who have heard us talk, we see this as a 1,000-year vision. This isn't just a 10-year thing. We're going to create something and have a internet school or something like this. This is something that we're hoping to be inclusive of the movement and stand for something. Andre right now has kind of a little Urantia University handout on it, and the beginning is a purpose statement of the university and what we're trying to create. So I'm going to turn it back over to Andre to read that purpose statement and kind of share a few words with you.
Thanks, Tim.
So I'll just share what's down here, what we've come up with as a board, as understanding what our purpose is going to be. And Urantia University is a global center of study and service based on the truths in the Urantia book, dedicated to training far-seeing leaders and fostering spiritual community. The university follows a model of learning and doing for fostering personal spiritual development in which all learners, instructors, and members of the Urantia University community are engaged in service projects as part of their university participation. We're very interested in starting a learning organization where people that are serious about learning the truths in the Urantia book can do so in a way that, in the first place, leads them to experience a kind of balanced growth. What we learn in the Urantia book as supreme growth, something that leads them toward excellence on the one hand, integrity in their moral life, and a magnanimous spirit of service. We're looking to create an environment which is going to bring out the best in all of us, simply. Now, there are plenty of institutions out there that are striving to do similar kinds of things. What is it that the Urantia University is specifically trying to do? We're trying to get ourselves to the next level. And that next level is a level where if the first mile is a sense of being obligatory servers, the second mile is a sense of the joy of service. And really taking the teachings of the Urantia book that have inspired a lot of us to want to become servers in whatever way we've chosen to do it, either directly with the Urantia movement or outside. And there are plenty of Urantia book readers that have picked ways to serve that are special to them. We have things like free schools and all of those kinds of things going on. Wonderful projects. The Urantia book has inspired many of us to do that. What we want to do with Urantia University is create a nexus where people feel like coming together in community and feel like growing together in the spirit of service, in living the teachings of the Urantia book, and moving forward together, essentially teachers and students growing together. Nobody being an expert downloading information to anybody else, but rather the sense of we're all in this together, we're all growing together. The teachers may be one step ahead, they may in fact be one step behind, but we're all going to learn together.
So what we're doing...
Yeah.
So what we're doing today is creating a sense of community and physical community. A wonderful gentleman, a couple of people, Merritt's in here right here, and John Hay really helped build the Boulder School. I think Crystalline was one of those members. But even today, there's a vibrant community in Boulder, I think, in many ways, thanks to that school. I think if we build physical centers around the country where like-minded people, especially with Urantia teachings, can come together, I think that you'll find incredible things spawn out of that we can't even envision yet. So the question is, can we put a brick-and-mortar center together where people can lead sustainable lives in that community, and we can actually influence that community one step closer to light and life, if you will.
So what's the timeline for me to be able to take a course at Urantia University?
Oh, we get that question.
That's
because people are excited, right? They want to participate
right,
in this,
right.
And they want to know when they can
that's
get started.
That's a big, big issue in the weekend that we're having together. We've gotten conversation. We were just reading one from Korea today about how much this person desires to have a study with a community. You have a lot of people in remote communities that don't even get to go to a study group. And how can you learn and work with each other together? So I think we're going to do two different things. We have a professional track that does take time, and we're building an introduction and we're building those type of things, and Andre can speak about that. On the other side, we're thinking about how to do a blog radio university course. We're getting people involved in building the physical center. How are you doing something like that? We would on our agenda is talking about just starting at the beginning of the book and having people look at the materials that have been created over the last 50 years, creating a repository. And if you want to see where that repository is going to be, go to urantiauniversity.org, and it'll take you to this site that we call Topics, the software, and we can put a huge repository in there for that. So in this serial study, we're going to start putting materials together and having different people teach those courses and get them engaged. We're hoping to do that the beginning or the middle of 2011. And we're still working on the courses.
And so the courses we would like to see begin sometime in 2012.
Great.
Where the introductory course, which will be a, you know, probably a 16-week course, will be a real commitment of people's time. And yet, just the parts that I've seen so far, they're so in-depth. And they're so wonderfully, you really, as much as many of us have read this book, you finally really see so much more of the color and the flavor of what this revelation is about. And that's what the introductory course, 16 weeks of some serious study. And so with Andre, you can probably speak better than me on that.
Well, I'll just dovetail with what you're saying, Robert. What we're hoping to do is to create something that leads the student to be able to get to a place of understanding some truths that they might not have been able to get to on their own. We're not forecasting, you know, at the outset what those truths necessarily are. We're going through a very organic learning process ourselves in developing this course, and that's part of the reason it's taking the time that it is. We're not trying to rush it along. We're trying to move. Our slogan is, go as fast as we can, but as slow as we must. The other aspect, though, the other thing that's exciting and that is encouraging in terms of getting some other things up and running maybe a little bit faster is that we're encouraging through our call for curriculum development, our call for papers, for people to, if they have a course that they have a passion about that they might enjoy seeing as part of the Urantia University, to please submit a proposal for that course for something that they might want to teach. Or if they've actually been through a course on the Urantia book, you know, in their study group or however else, that was actually a little more formally done, that was maybe a study guide that has been put together. We're also trying to put together some self-study guides. So there's a number of different
Are you utilizing any of the materials? Are you utilizing any of the materials that were put together from the original forum days and from William Sadler?
We're working with the Historical Society, and we have those documents pretty well scanned in, and we're reviewing those as we're creating the other materials.
Okay.
We're not looking at just rehashing anything particularly, but what we're doing is we're trying to look at what's good there and developing upon it. If it's something that worked well, we'd like to use it. If it's something that looks like it could have could be improved, and probably that's true of just about anything in today's day and age, that we've got different insights, different scientific developments, and different attitudes in our culture. We want to adapt it so that it appeals to people today. You know, one of our primary aims with all of this is to whet the appetite of the student for more.
Mm.
Primarily, we're interested in not just, you know, downloading a truth and having somebody walk away and say, okay, I'm satisfied, thank you very much, bye-bye. Even worse, we certainly don't want to turn anybody off. What we're interested in doing is trying to get people as excited as we know we were when we were first introduced to the truths of the Urantia book. We know that once somebody has actually tasted some of the delicious truths of the Urantia book, they will want to come up to the table for more.
The Urantia book actually gives us a lot of clues to what we're creating. So we don't want people to think of this as a typical school. In the Urantia book, in Development of the State and the paper on education, it talks about education being the business of living.
Mm.
You know, it's a lifetime of pursuit. It's a lifetime of growing. It's not just going for a little degree and saying, okay, we're going to go out there and get a job. It's the business of living, and how do we create that? So that's what we're looking at.
And it also says that the purpose of all education should be the development of a majestic personality.
Right.
And if I may say in closing, while we have short-term goals, Tim mentioned in the very beginning that we're really looking at this thing also from 1,000 years out, as far as our puny little imaginations can push. We see that the Urantia University in the future will be something that will be respected all over the planet, that it will be a place of educational learning that surpasses even the very things that we have on our planet today. That it'll take those things and. So that's the ultimate goal that none of us will be able to see in our lifetimes, but we see it in our heart, and we definitely have it in our attention as we move forward.
Well, we're down to our last 26 seconds, but I want to tell everybody that, you know, I'd love to get the board, you guys, back on. We'll do a conference call with you, and we'll really flesh out these concepts and where Urantia University is going. And Merritt Horn is sitting here as wonderful scholars of the Urantia book, and I'd like to get you all back on, and we'll do a whole show on Urantia University. So thanks to our listeners for listening today. We really appreciate your support, and we hope you'll tune in again.
Thank you so much to all of our guests today.
Thanks, guys.
Have a blessed week.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye
for now.
Bye for now. Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia book and its teachings. The Urantia book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia book. So all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.